Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. You know, one of the problems, Jeffrey, with having this video streaming, is that what we have now? What is it, right? Where you can see us?
You can stream us on YouTube, Twitch, and the 99X account.
Yeah, you can see you much more clearly. Like, you're right there. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of distant. It's sort of a landscape of me. But one of the problems is that people might be able to tell from the camera that I walked in 15 seconds before the music began. You know, they're a little more aware of my systems here, including the fact that this morning I forgot my wallet, mm-hmm. so I couldn't get in the door. So I appreciate you letting me in so we could have an extravaganza of a show here on this Giving Tuesday. I do hope that you think about more than ever. Folks, there is need out there, particularly local organizations. Listen, I heard on the way, the show before ours was talking about the V Foundation, and that's obviously a great charity. But there are a lot of places in Memphis that could use your generosity, including one of our favorite organizations, Church Health, where they help the underinsured deal with their health care challenges. Just a fabulous place. But there's any number of fabulous places around Memphis on this Tuesday, on Giving Tuesday. So think of them, please. Today on the radio show, we have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Grizzlies tonight at San Antonio. Jeffrey, they're going for the 4-0 sweep of the road trip. What do you think? No Wemby? Zach Edey? Who's going to stop Zach Edey?
I mean, we were trying to determine, you know, is he somewhere between like Hakeem and Shaq right now?
I think, if you were going to say, you know, he's tall like Shaq and he's tall like Hakeem, you have to say. And he has been a revelation over these last few games. And we'll talk to Chris about him as the Grizzlies try to go 4-0 on the road trip. Chris had a piece up at the Daily Memphian. Daily Memphian, by the way, also is a nonprofit. People may not realize that, but there's no one to, you know, it exists only to bring journalism, local journalism, to Memphis, and there's no one who profits off of it. Daily Memphian is not traded on the New York Stock Exchange. It is a nonprofit. All the money goes right back into better journalism. So that's another one to think about. Chris Harrington has a piece up on the Grizzlies. I'd urge you to read about this very promising road trip and about what's going to happen when Ja returns. And so we will do that. And then because it's Tuesday, we'll have Fish on Friday on Tuesday. Charles said to me this morning, he had so many things. He really likes the idea of a speed round. He's addicted to the idea of a speed round. But I'm less addicted to the idea of a speed round. But it does it the implication is that he has a million things that he wants to talk about. So we'll talk to Fish on Friday. On Tuesday, our man in Washington, D.C. in the second hour. The first hour is all us. And particularly, I imagine, we will focus on the coaching stuff. Let's start with the University of Memphis. Jeffrey, it's a day into this. First question, what do you think about timing? Obviously, signing day is tomorrow. We have now had various, these jobs continue to be filled. Will Stein going to Kentucky, Bob Chesney going to UCLA, right? Pat Fitzgerald going to Michigan State. Like a lot of these places, they fire the coach, they hire the coach, onward they go. Certainly Ole Miss, right? Ole Miss, like they wasted no time. Now they've got big fish to fry in terms of games. And we'll talk about Lane Kiffin's press conference at Baton Rouge here in a minute as well. But there are a lot of these jobs that are being filled. Some names, like I heard Jason and John talking fairly extensively about Will Stein, and I was always skeptical. And I was skeptical because I didn't think he needed to make this step, right? Like you pointed out yesterday, it didn't feel like the path that the SEC, that the big jobs were going was to go hire a coordinator. That didn't feel like today's cycle, right? Given the challenges of NIL and the needs to be an effective CEO and whatever, the emphasis seemed to be on sitting coaches. There are certain coordinators who are so hot, so well regarded that I don't think this step is necessary. And so when the Will Stein conversation began yesterday or when it, I was always skeptical. I just didn't think Will Stein needed to go to a place like Memphis in order to make the next step. And sure enough, he's headed to Kentucky. Your thoughts on that one?
So this was yesterday when, or I guess Sunday night when the news that Kentucky had moved on, this was the name that was connected. Will is from Louisville.
Yeah, he's got.
He bleeds red, but I guess now he's going to bleed blue. So I thought it was a very good hire. I do think there's a chance for Memphis with a lot of these coordinators not really getting sniffs for these jobs. If you do look at the Memphis job, you can sit there and go, everyone that's had the job in the last three coaches have gone and gotten a bigger job. Now, does that mean that you can get Colin Klein? Like, I don't know about that, but I do think
honestly,
that's a possible path.
I think it's a possible path. I just was skeptical. Will Stein was literally the number one hottest coordinator.
Yeah.
Right? He was the number one. If you look at Mike Norvell, he was a well-regarded coordinator. He was not the hottest coordinator in the country. You look at Justin Fuente. Memphis job better, by the way, now than it was then, really, still, I think. Certainly better than when Justin Fuente was offered it. He was a well-regarded coordinator, but not the hottest.
I don't even know if he was the play caller.
Shared play calling, I think. I think there had been some murkiness there. But anyway, it didn't surprise me. I will say this, because of the Kentucky connections, it makes sense. I don't know if I'm Will Stein. Let's take the jobs that are perceived to be the toughest right now in the SEC.
Okay.
Kentucky, Mississippi State, Arkansas. I guess I don't know what we're going to do with Vanderbilt anymore. Like, has it been elevated to not that? Let's put it over in a separate category. But let's start with those. Kentucky, Mississippi State, Arkansas. You got another one you want to toss in there?
South Carolina.
Yeah, I wondered if it was a smidge higher, but South Carolina too. Are they good jobs or are they just paycheck jobs? Ole Miss, honestly, I don't think – it's an interesting question. I think following Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss – is a very hard job. But for different, very clearly you have shown the greater capacity to win there. So I'll put it in a different category as well. And the ambition seems to be heightened by everything that has unfolded. But let's take the other three or four.
Okay.
If you were a hot coordinator or you were the coach at a well-regarded G5 hot, school, would you take those jobs? I mean, Ryan very clearly, I don't doubt there, because Ryan wasn't getting, Ryan had been here 6 years, right? I mean, you look around, the normal cycle is you get there, you win two or three years, and boom, you're gone, right? For Ryan, it was becoming pretty clear he wasn't going to get his pick of Power Four jobs. So for Ryan, I have no question it was the smart thing to do to take the Arkansas job, because I don't think a better job was forthcoming had he waited, right? But for, you know, for the Will Steins of the world, is taking that job a good idea?
So there's a couple of questions here. I mean, number one, it's probably going to be $40 million guaranteed.
I'm saying.
I know your point is that
if you can get the, and maybe you don't think you can get the $40 million next year.
I think this is what you have to consider with Kentucky. I'm sure Kentucky is the pitch to him, and I think this is why I'm actually taking this seriously. The pitch to him was, listen, I'm not saying we're going to be Indiana, but here's the money, and we're ready to win in football, because I do think there are some schools in the SEC that are perceived as basketball first that are actually worried about their place in the world, because if things do head a certain way, they've got to get serious about football, and because that is definitely going to be the future. And so what if Kentucky's sitting there going like, hey, we've always had a ton of money. Yeah, we've put it into basketball.
Though, like, in the end, all this is relative, right? It's all relative to what other schools are spending, right? Do we believe that, I mean, we saw yesterday that Ryan flipped, Ryan goes to Arkansas, he immediately flips some recruits.
It was a four-star, yeah.
Yes, there were three players who he got yesterday, and I think, whatever, they were much, great excitement.
Sure, Ryan flipped them, I'm sure it was not a paycheck.
Arkansas social media. It was the paycheck. That's what I was about to say. I was about to say, Ryan flipped them because of the money, right? So does that mean that all of a sudden, because Arkansas can pay more money, that's fine, but they have to pay more money than Oklahoma, or they have to pay more money than LSU, or they have to pay more money than Ole Miss, or they have to pay more money than Kentucky. And you're saying, well, Stein's going to get more money. Like, everyone can have more money, but what still ultimately matter was how much money you have relative to anyone else. And do we see the order of that shifting? Very clearly, Vanderbilt is in a different place in that hierarchy than it once was. I think Vanderbilt has moved up in terms of relatively where it is, right? Because of the financial commitment. But is the order changing, or is just the numbers behind is the number changing?
So what I think, it's not necessarily the order is changing. It's that the gaps between these jobs has shrunk. So I guess though, what I would say though about Kentucky is, you know, when a basketball school in Indiana all of a sudden decided to start committing to football, well, lo and behold, there were no barriers. Now, do I think Kentucky has the ceiling that Indiana football does? No, because Indiana has the highest percentage of living alumni. Like, there is it is fascinating to me. All we do with Texas Tech is talk about the money, the money, the money. And with Indiana, it's like, nope, just a great coaching job.
Right. No, there's obviously all of these things. You can win anywhere now. So maybe Arkansas is not a bad job. You can win anywhere. Is that what you're saying?
I think there is structurally no barriers to winning everywhere. The reason why I think Arkansas wound up with Ryan Soarfield is because I think Arkansas talked a big game about wanting to invest in football. But I don't think they were able to prove it.
It was funny to see the clip of Ryan meeting John. You know, Ryan walks into the gym. John's there. John welcomes him, whatever. And you know, it is interesting, these two Memphis coaches there. But you know that they have very different agendas, and there's only certain much money. So Ryan can welcome John. John can welcome Ryan. But we saw this play out at Kentucky when John was at Kentucky. There was always a friction between the football program and the basketball program at Kentucky, and John let the basketball program know where it stood at Kentucky.
I do also think that this is true.
I mean, yeah.
From Kentucky's perspective, they do not believe that Mark Stoops was under-resourced at the level that he won at.
Okay, so the larger point, though, was we see these jobs being filled. Is there a priority to have the job filled by signing day tomorrow?
What good is that going to do? The hay's in the barn.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to keep some kids, et cetera. Would you prefer it to not having it? Sure, you would. But if, for example, Jerry Mack is your target,
Okay.
Which could very well be true.
Yeah.
Don't you think? If I was to pick someone who's going to be the, again, just out of the blue, like I have to name the name and you will give me $100 if I'm right, I would say Jerry Mack. Who would you say?
So has Ed commented at all?
No.
Okay. So the one thing about the timing of everything, that does make me wonder if they're going to be seeking out another G6 head coach. Because to make up for the fact that they're going to miss signing day,
well, and it,
are you going to bring some guys with you?
Jerry Mack would make...
100% makes sense.
He would make sense. He's got local ties. He's won big at the two previous places. Obviously, briefly. There's no question. Nothing's proven. And I'm not endorsing it because I've never met Jerry Mack. Haven't talked to Jerry Mack. Can't tell you much about him except for his
But if you told me they hired him, like, yes, that makes sense.
It makes sense. And he's preparing for the CUSA championship game.
Right.
So he can't be... preparing for, he can't take the job at Memphis yet. I mean, Lane did, but he's not going to do that. He's got a game this weekend is to play.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, I do think if Ole Miss were playing, I think had Auburn won the SEC or beaten out Alabama and Ole Miss were playing in the SEC championship game, I think Lane is still coaching this week.
I want to get to that in a minute. But anyway, so would it be better than not to have it done tomorrow? Sure, but I don't think it is a high priority, particularly if you're hiring a sitting coach, because a sitting coach presumably will be in a position to bring a lot of their own players
yes.
with them. And that's why, if you ask me the second question, do you care if it is a former head coach who's been fired, a big-time head coach who's been fired, if it's an offensive coordinator, if it's a defensive coordinator, if it's a head coach that's an offensive guy or a head coach that's a defensive guy, if it's a head coach at a lower level, if it's a – is there a credential that means more to you than anything else? Obviously, the individual means the most, but is there – are the things you are looking for in the next head coach at Memphis?
I'd like to see some proof of concept beyond just found a quarterback. And even though I can acknowledge finding a quarterback is part of the job, I'm very skeptical of guys that, like, part of, like, if we want to go back to the Vanderbilt conversation, part of it for me with Clark Lee is, okay, prove it without Pavia.
Well, that is, to me, the massive question with Vanderbilt.
And I'm not saying that I don't believe him.
It has only worked with Pavia.
Right.
Let's see it without Pavia.
Right. And I'm not saying there's lots of reports that he's going to flip the five-star Nashville quarterback. And, again.
And you can do that, by the way, and they won't necessarily be Pavia.
Correct.
I mean, you know.
Exactly.
We saw that in Michigan this year.
Right.
You know.
But still, prove to me that it's not bottom of the SEC. You know what I mean? Like, prove to me that.
I actually have come around to thinking that if there is any credential that means more to me than any other credential, it is success as a head coach at a lower level. I think that has become, particularly in the time of NIL, because you can bring your team with you, right? And so if you have won multiple years, multiple places, this is certainly the formula for Cignetti, right? This was the...
let's use it in the American. It was the formula for John Sumrall last year. He brought like 10 guys or exactly like 10 right. or 15
if
starters.
If you have won and proven yourself at multiple places, to me, what it suggests is you're a damn good coach. You know how to run a program. You know how to recruit. You know how to, like.
You sniff around Jason Eck?
I like Jason Eck, but I mean, Jerry Mack also fits that.
Yeah. Jason Eck's got a longer.
He's got a much longer. He has a much longer.
And I would also argue they both took over bad jobs because, let's be clear, taking over the Kennesaw right. job, but that league is much more volatile.
Yeah.
When Eck went to Idaho, like, that was a disaster. They're moving down.
He fixed Idaho, and then he goes to New Mexico, correct. And he fixes New Mexico. No, to me, that is the thing. If you can, you've shown it works at multiple places, and you're bringing players with you,
yeah.
That is the, again, for me, I care much less about the credential than the individual, like if I'm persuaded by them. There's some people who I just think have it. I just think have it. When John Calipari was hired at UMass, he didn't have much in the way of credentials. He had it, right? Like,
yep.
And so... But if you're asking me what credential matters, that's the credential that matters most to me.
Charles Huff, too. I'd like to throw in that category.
Charles Huff's another one who fits the same profile,
yeah.
right? As
Marshall, how's it going?
As this
they doing better?
As this kind of
really upgraded
kind of gig. Um, the recruiting thing, seeing Ryan take his paycheck and get some guys yesterday did remind me that Ryan was a good recruiter.
Yeah.
Even like he was a critical recruiter. I first became sort of aware of Ryan because he was central to Norvell's recruiting efforts. Like he was a monster on the recruiting trail. And he was a good recruiter, and I think he continued to be a good recruiter at Memphis. It helped that he had FedEx money, right? But he was a good recruiter before
I agree.
He was a good recruiter before he had FedEx money. Is that an underrated part of Ryan, and are we sure that the next coach is going to be an upgrade?
I think what is fair to say is this. I do think as a public consciousness, we have probably swung the pendulum too far in the only thing that matters is money. Because what happens in a lot of these situations is the money gets fairly similar, with the exception of the what you pointed out earlier. If you just feel like you've got to flip guys to make a splash and to make a name and whatnot, then yes, it's just overpaying. And yes, you can get that. But then you can wind up in the North Carolina situation where, yeah, you were a well-funded roster, but you just overpaid for a bunch of guys that you were beating out the Sun Belt for. So I do think recruiting chops still matters in the can you talk. If all things are equal, can you talk everyone into your
very
vision?
Clearly, the other thing, and we've seen this, like we see this with Penny Hardaway and them, and it what matters now, and Ryan obviously took Scott Gasper, the GM, with him. What matters is to have a GM,
100%,
a GM who is aggressive, organized, and has an eye for talent.
Yes,
you know, and whether there are certain programs where the GM gets all the credit and the coach just says I trust my GM, and then there's other programs where the GM is very clearly I just gather the stuff and bring it to the head coach. Well, however you do that, it's fine, but you need a GM who is super effective, and so you'd certainly like to see that. Let me ask you this, and I asked this. We had a back and forth in the Daily Memphian today with some of the writers and whatever. We just did a sort of a conversation about this. And one of the questions that I asked Tim Buckley and John Martin and Frank Bonner was, what is success for the next coach? When we look back on it, how will you know it is successful?
A conference championship game within 3 years?
It's funny because the way you put it, I think, is Frank said, is better. Because what Frank said was, make it to a conference championship game. That's what people criticized Ryan for not doing. And to that, my response was, no. The bar is to win a conference championship. It says something about Ryan and his tenure that we lowered the bar to, God, just make a conference championship game. Hasn't even made a conference championship game. The goal should never be to make the conference championship game. The goal, I think, and the measure of success, maybe pass-fail is to make, and within 3 years, I'd take that. Like, that would be whatever. But if the next coach, and whatever, I guess if they make a conference championship game with 2 years and then they get plucked, that's success, right? Or even if they make it within 3 years and get plucked. But to me, and I had this argument with John Martin, I think both coaches at the University of Memphis over the last however many years have succeeded in getting us to lower the bar. Like with Ryan, it was make a conference championship game. Like, I don't understand why the bar couldn't have been beat Tulane in a conference championship game. It's Tulane, right? I don't understand. And then for Penny, the bar used to be like he came in talking about championships, right? And the bar used to be Sweet 16s. I mean, hell, the bar for Josh was Sweet 16s. Like, why was Josh a failure? Can he get to a Sweet 16? Now, we've lowered the bar for Penny such that if this year they make it to the NCAA tournament, it's going to be a successful year.
Okay, so I guess I don't know how to phrase this because I'm not necessarily pushing back, but I guess the way that I look at it is the universe that Memphis basketball used to exist in, right, does not exist for them.
Okay.
So, but on the flip side,
I think the point is that it's not that we have lowered the bar for Penny. It's right, that the bar has been lowered by the circumstances around, correct, the University of Memphis.
Correct. And then the reason why I was always
I think that's true, by the way,
wildly, wildly unimpressed by Ryan is I looked around and I'm sitting there going, this is a good job. In your league, you either have the best job or the second best job. Like, clearly. And by the way, the only person that has
the Justin Fuente did not have the best or the second best job at
I don't even think Mike did.
Mike Norvell did not have the best or second best job in the conference.
And furthermore, the other candidate for the best job has a more stringent academic requirement than you do. I'm not saying that Tulane is sitting here in Stanford,
right?
But Tulane does have more challenges than you do.
Anything else intrigue you about that? We'll take a break here in a minute, and we'll talk about.
I'm going to watch the Satake thing.
Obviously,
I heard that name a month ago, and
Satake
I thought it was
to Penn State is sort of the rumor.
Yeah, well, no, I think Bamel's even. And Bamel's gone with the
what's he gone?
The Target.
He's gone with Target.
Excuse me. BYU's focus, coaching search focuses on BYU, or I'm sorry, Penn State's coaching search focuses on BYU's Kalani Sitake.
And that would make sense because everybody else has filled their job, right? Like,
I don't think Brent Key signed his extension either.
Okay. But we got Florida filled, we got Auburn filled, we got Arkansas filled, we got like, we got
UCLA,
Ole Miss filled,
right.
We got UCLA.
Is Chesney official?
Filled. I don't know. It's either. Yeah. It's basically. Yes.
Okay.
Obviously, we got LSU filled. So why is Penn State, which was earlier than most openings, right? Why has Penn State not been filled? They've lost a bunch of players to Virginia Tech. Franklin's already taken a bunch of his recruits to Virginia Tech. So why hasn't it been filled? And the thought is that Satake, which would mean, by the way, How many schools could we have in the playoff coached by not their head coach? Three.
So, Ole Miss for certain.
Ole Miss for certain.
Whoever wins the American.
Whoever wins the American.
BYU potentially.
You could potentially.
And then JMU.
You could potentially have the James Madison situation. If Duke wins the ACC title and they decide to take James Madison instead, we know Bob Chesney's gone.
I don't think that will happen for the record.
I don't either.
Yes.
And then the fourth one would be this one if BYU happens to win the title this weekend.
Correct, which I do not think is possible.
Which I certainly is not likely, if not impossible. All right, I want to go through. I have several of the things that Lane said yesterday at his presser, and I want you let's hold up the lie detector test. See what we think about the truth. And the merits of some of the things that Lane said yesterday upon arriving at LSU. Before then, I will tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty is the group to call. And that's true whether you're doing it here at the end of the year, tricky time, not a lot of people shopping for houses around the holiday season, but some. When I moved to Memphis the first time, honestly, I was shopping around. I remember we were looking for houses and there were Christmas lights up everywhere. And so there are people out there buying. There are people moving to Memphis even now. But certainly if in the new year you think, listen, one of the things we want to accomplish in the new year is to move to a bigger house or move further out or move further in or whatever it is, call Josh Heisa or contact him at joshhasthebuyers.com. That's the website, joshhasthebuyers.com. I've told you about a lot of folks who've been happy with Josh Heisa, thrilled, honestly. And you can check out the Google reviews, hundreds and hundreds of five-star Google reviews. But in addition to that, what he can do is he'll come to your house and he will size it up. And unlike the folks from out of town who are, you know, offering to give you an instant cash offer for your home, he will give you a full market value offer for your home. So you don't have to go through the rigmarole of having it out there and open houses and fixing it up and doing all the stuff you have to do, the suspense. Should we lower the price? What should we hide? Whatever. Josh will give you an instant cash offer and you can move on. It's joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday in the second hour. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. A couple things to clean up from what we were just talking about. John Martin has reminded us that over at Kalshi, where they bet on stuff like who's going to be the next blank.
Correct.
Who's going to be the next Memphis football coach? The leader at Kalshi is Jerry Mack. He opens as the favorite. And Dan Mullen is right behind. What do you think?
I mean, Jason Mack was the first name that was tossed out. And did Wolken maybe throw that out on? I think Wolken threw it out on
Jerry Mack at 30%, Dan Mullen at 25%. Will Stein, he's not going to be the next head coach, 20%.
Correct. I mean,
He's already spoken for. So there you go. There's that. And then evidently Todd McShay, this is from a listener. Todd McShay, and again, I am repeating things that I have absolutely no personal knowledge of. But Todd McShay was on Bill Simmons' podcast and said that Jimmy Sexton has gone to war with Penn State because of James Franklin being fired. So Sexton is making it practically impossible for Penn State to hire someone worthwhile.
So the only thing I would push back is, I mean, I don't think that's how Jimmy conducts business personally.
I wouldn't think so. Like, Jimmy is trying to get everybody rich. You know, it's not personal vendetta stuff usually with Jimmy.
Now, I do know that there's a lot of people that think Adidas was very heavy-handed in that decision. I think I would also state this. This is the first time, at least in my lifetime, where it's not clear to me that, like, Jimmy has, like, the biggest Rolodex in terms of client list.
Well, he's got Lane. That's the
biggest. Right. He had the biggest fish.
He had the biggest fish.
But, I mean, now.
He's got Ryan. He's got, you know, he's got, I don't know.
Of course, he had the second biggest. He had the two biggest fish.
Does he have Summerall?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, there you go. Just wanted to clear that up. Okay. Lane Kiffin did his press conference at LSU yesterday, and he said lots of things, and I want you let's judge the truthiness of these things. Okay. First thing he said was there was no way to possibly do it better than he did the exit. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being honest Abe, truthful, total truthfulness, and 1 being flat-out pants-on-fire lie, where is this one? There is no way to possibly do it better. I don't even know how you could say that with a straight face. Couldn't you at least say, I may have made some mistakes along the way?
That's not how he operates,
or
man.
Whatever. There is no way to possibly do it better. I mean, literally, okay, here, if you're sending your family to these places to look for jobs, do it discreetly.
Correct. You can hide the plane. You can
there
hide
is
the
one way
tail
to
number.
How about this? When Ole Miss fans are just looking for some compliments. Like, hey, wasn't the crowd great today? Don't point out, yeah, but it sucked last week. Right? How about don't, when a reporter correctly suggests to you that that your reputation may be, how about not calling out the reporter? But how about mostly, how about not bailing on your team until the season's over? This one's the thing that really nauseates me and continues to nauseate me. I was listening to Kirk Herbstreit yesterday talk on, I was driving around last night and he was talking on ESPN. He said, you know, the thing was, is that just for me, the way that football has changed, and I don't love the way it's changed, I'm paraphrasing, but now you just recruit people. It's just 1 year. The contract, the deal is for 1 year. So Lane should have been given the time to finish this 1 year. And no, that's not it. If the contract is for 1 year, then the obligation on the part of Lane is to be there until the year is over and then go talk to another job, just like the players have to. If you're saying that this year is so special, the kids, it's just a 1 year hitch, then fine. Then do the, then stay for the 1 year. And if when the year is over, you want to start talking to folks, start talking to folks. It is nothing unreasonable. If the year is so sacred, if the kids are so sacred, then there is nothing reasonable about, unreasonable about saying, listen, I'll talk about this when the year is over. Or how about this? If you leave on the eve of a playoff run, maybe tell the staff that is coming with you, hey, you guys stay and coach. You tell the OC, they've completely gutted the offensive staff. Tell the OC, you can come with me in the end, but you need to stay and call plays for this group. Like, why do you gut the team on the offensive, the personnel on the offensive side too on your way out? There's a million ways he could have done this better. He could have made it not a public spectacle, trolling and tweeting and praying and all of this nonsense publicly. Literally no other coach has done this. So it's clearly, there are ways to do it better because literally nobody has ever done it worse.
It's not a lie if you believe it. I mean, this is the other issue that I had with all of it. Like, Ole Miss,
I couldn't have done it, but no possible.
Ole Miss actually got the Aflac sponsorship on their field. Like, that's a big deal for a lot of these colleges, especially, like, Texas has, like, a local advertiser right on their field, Alabama. Like, to get a national brand, no mention of it. Like, no thing, you know.
Okay. There was one thing, though. In this story, it said that he did not find out he was not allowed to coach the – this is in the Athletic story. He did not find out he was not going to be permitted to coach in the playoff until 30 minutes before the team meeting on Sunday, which he was not allowed to attend. Does that – on the level of 10 truthfulness, ultimately 100% golden solid truth and one being a lie, where do you put that? That's impossible. If that were so, then I would blame Keith Carter.
No, here's what I know for certain, and it might have been before this. The Thursday or the Friday before the Florida game, it was 100% conveyed to him, you are not going to be able to take one of the other jobs and coach the playoff. And then he started lashing out. That was why he did all the stuff he did on Saturday. That Saturday where he like started trolling his own fan base and like he was throwing a temper tantrum.
Two funny little details that have emerged. One is just shockingly, LSU, if Ole Miss does well in the playoff,
LSU's going to pay the bonuses.
Lane was going to get bonuses for that. He is going to get the bonuses anyway for Ole Miss victories, even though he is now at LSU because LSU is going to pay that money.
Which I actually think makes a fascinating internal debate for him because I think at his core,
he'll be rooting against Ole Miss.
Right, because he wants to say, like, it was me. It was me. Is that enough money, though?
Yeah, here's the truth.
To change your mind.
I think he knows that team isn't a national championship team. Or he wouldn't have bailed. Maybe.
Okay, I think so.
He might still have bailed, honestly.
I guess so. This is my whole point. If Ole Miss can avoid, if they can get on the other side of the bracket from Ohio State, there's no reason why Ole Miss couldn't win two or three games. They're not going to beat Ohio State. They're not going to win a national championship. But that was still like $750,000.
The other detail that was really delicious and remarkable from all of this, and I don't know, you can tell me if it's true. Maybe this is the pettiness has come out. But that the dog, Juice is the name of his dog. The Juice does not live with him. He's just a PR dog who lives with a handler. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. Neil and Chase started doing extremely important investigative work on
you bring
Sunday.
Out a fake dog to make yourself
well,
look like
it is
a nice
real
person?
Dog. Let's be clear. Dog. It is a real dog, but the dog was a prop. The dog was...
That's the worst of the worst of the worst.
Correct.
You bring out a dog as a prop.
Well,
okay.
I was actually thinking about this. I explained it to my wife, and see if you agree with this. So, I actually think this is brilliant advertising for, I'm sorry, I can't remember the guy. It's like one of the elite kennels down in somewhere in Mississippi. And he's a world-renowned dog trainer. The fact that he was able to convince us all that lab was Lane's dog, that's unbelievable training.
Yeah. Well, also, labs love everybody.
Right, but like...
I mean, you couldn't have done that with a lot of dogs. Like, you could certainly do it with a Bernese Mountain Dog. Like, my dogs would go love Lane Kiffin tomorrow. Like, they would be happy to love anybody. But there's, like... There are certain, like a German Shepherd might not have said,
no,
I love you. No, you're like, you're not my person.
Correct.
You know, screw you. Whatever. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. On the NIL and the NIL numbers at LSU versus Ole Miss, he said, those are not similar. Those were not the same. 10 is honest, God's honest truth, and one is, that's a flat out lie. He said the numbers are not similar.
Seven?
They are not the same.
Seven?
You think it's fundamentally true? NIL, the NIL opportunities
so
at LSU were going
to
be.
If you say it that way.
Okay. The LSU money. Forget that.
Opportunities.
The NIL money at LSU is going to be more than the NIL money at Ole Miss.
Correct.
That's what he's saying.
I also believe that state's so corrupt that they'll make it work.
And listen. Okay. How about this one? There's nothing like Tiger Stadium, he said.
Eight. So this is my whole thing. I've been to Tiger Stadium four times. It is a fabulous stadium.
Fabulous.
Fabulous environment. They have an unfair advantage. They have branded it as it's night. Every SEC stadium is better at night. The atmosphere is always better. I do not fundamentally believe that Tiger Stadium at night is that much better than Neyland Stadium at night. Then Tuscaloosa at night. Then the Swamp
but
at night.
Do you believe?
It's a fabulous stadium, though.
That game in, game out, LSU better than Vaught Hemingway.
Yes.
I think that's true. But I don't think
it's also the difference between 100,000 people and 65.
I don't think it's true of, if you're going to say, and listen, they're a part of this. Like, I do not blame Lane for wanting to coach at LSU instead of Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I mean, the truth of the matter is there's a couple of things. One is it is more raucous. It's not necessarily better than the Grove, but it's better than the stadium scene is better. If you are attracted to that.
I'm not going there.
Okay.
The stadium. Around the stadium I find is repulsive.
I think I can find that too. Yes. The scene around the stadium better at Ole Miss.
Correct.
Actually. But if you can
And by the way, I'm not a Grover.
If you care about tradition, SEC, all of that, is LSU better than Ole Miss?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And the recruiting opportunities are better at LSU.
There's only one school in the state.
There's only one school and whatever.
And
so
it's a bigger state.
There, to me, that was one of the, I think it's a fib when you say there's no place like LSU, because I actually think Tennessee's kind of like LSU and Alabama's kind of like LSU and Florida at its best, of you know, whatever some of those places can be, but I do think there's a difference there, and he wanted to be at a program that is, you know, just the smidge higher.
Yeah,
and I think he could have said, listen, that was the most honest thing he said to me. He wanted to be at what he perceived to be a better place. It's one of the things that smarts to me. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you have the sting of losing Lane Kiffin. right? Like that, and you lose the coach.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing.
In the midst of a playoff run.
This was true from, and this was, yeah, that's all. You lose your coach in the midst of a playoff run. It's disaster. The other problem with this, and this was true of Memphis when they lost Calipari, is it also reminds you of your place in the universe.
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily, it's like the place in the universe. It's also, though, like,
it's your place in the universe.
Yeah, but I would argue, like,
and maybe it's more fluid than it used to be. Your place in the universe, I can say that. But this, and the reasons he did it were because of your place in the universe.
Correct. Or I would say this, though, his perception of your place in the universe, because I also think this is true. I think the reason why it got as messy and ugly as it did is because after he lost to Georgia, he thought they were going to be like 9-3, 8-4, and it was going to be an easy exit. Right. Instead, they went 11-1, and now he's like, well, I'm going to coach the playoff.
What? Okay. He also, he didn't say that Nick Saban told him to take the job, but he said, he talked about Nick Saban. He said, well, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but there's a reason, there's a reason I'm here. So let me ask you. So basically he's saying Nick Saban told him to take the job. Level of truthiness in that, 10 being
9.5.
And what do you think of that, by the way?
So on
A,
the
A, Nick Saban is paid by Alabama right now. He's a pace consultant to Alabama. And B, Nick Saban's a TV guy who was defending to the hilt Lane Kiffin, as were all the smarmy whatever on TV this weekend. So what do you think about Nick advising him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also,
LSU
I think
job.
You have to, I need to double check, but I'm pretty certain this is true. When Nick was the head football coach at Alabama, he said one of his biggest regrets in his career is leaving LSU. So, like that was why he was the coach. I think it's also true that, like, I don't think maybe it was as clear to everyone, but I've always known this to be true, that, like, Jimmy's number one client is Nick. And they've always been, like,
I think that's right.
Hand in hand.
Yeah.
And now it's now just more apparent.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like Herb Street, ESPN, like everything. It's like it's he can now. It's also important to note this: Jimmy can't make anyone do anything. He can advise.
No. Clearly not. Yeah,
he can tell them this is where you should go, but he can't make them do anything. Jimmy tried to get Hugh Freeze in 2014 to take the Florida job. Hugh wouldn't do it.
I Jimmy's obviously very close to Nick Saban, and he trusts him with his life. I don't know who it was. There was a golfer at the FedEx St. Jude who was close with Nick Saban, who was winning or something, and Jimmy got me on the line with Nick Saban to talk about the golfer.
Justin Thomas?
Is that it?
Justin Thomas is very tight.
Maybe it was Justin.
Yeah.
And Nick was at his summer house at the time. You know, he was at the lake house.
Nick lives now next to, like, Justin in Florida.
Oh, now he lives. Does he still have the lake house?
He still has the lake. I mean.
Still has the lake house. Anyway.
My favorite online conspiracy is that Saban was going to take the Texas job because he had bad real estate investments. Seems to me his real estate portfolio is doing just fine.
Other things that struck me, in terms of the truthiness run by you. Some other things were hilarious, though. He did talk to the governor. He had a interesting conversation with the governor. He said, it is kind of amazing. This was the governor who a month ago was ranting about how they weren't going to be irresponsible with the coaching money was ridiculous, mm-hmm. et cetera. And they just gave the next coach a 7-year, $91 million deal with no offset.
Yeah, but that's what the fans wanted. So with now he's popular.
Yeah. With no offset. Okay. Oh, here. How about this one?
All right.
How about this one? Kiffin relived the scene of his departure from Oxford on Sunday afternoon, traveling to the airport to board the plane to Baton Rouge. You know I'm human. Do you have violins over there? Do you have anything that resembles violins over there? This was rich, man. This was rich. This was just rich. There you go. Here you go. You know I'm human. Even though you understand it's the passion, you're with your son and you're driving. And you got to call a cop that, you know, so they'll help you because you personally know them because you're leaving the state. You've got to call them because you're driving with your son and you got to turn around. These people are screaming at you, trying to run you off the road. I don't know what they're going to do. So that affects you. And that airport scene and all the things being said, I understand it. It's the passion. But they're saying that about you, that you thought you did a really good job for 6 years for them. That affects you. What'd you make of that sob story?
I like bringing in the human shield Knox. was he asked about on his playoff game where he Instagrammed LSU headphones?
You got your son. Oh, God.
Listen, has been trying for the last week. Lane has really been trying to present himself
as the victim. It's just staggering.
Correct.
You can do this. You can't do this and be the victim.
Correct. If you wanted to coach the playoff, there was an option. Sign the extension.
Right. You could sign the extension, or you could just say, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to whatever. I'm not going to.
No, I do. No, I actually. Made no, him. No, I think there was a point.
They made him.
It was going to be sign the extension.
Or else we're not going to coach the playoff. Correct. So they did. He could not have simply said, I'm going to talk to LSU at the end of this year.
Correct. Well, I don't think LSU would have let that.
That's the thing. I don't think LSU would
like. It's not.
I don't think that was Ole Miss.
It always gets portrayed as like Ole Miss did this ultimatum thing. It's like it's not necessarily that. It's like everybody knew what was happening.
All right, you can add some sparkle to the holidays with Robert Irwin Jewelers. I will be headed to Robert Irwin Jewelers. I will tell you that among the holiday picks, I got some holiday picks for you. Tennis bracelets, stunning 3-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelet for just $1,199. That's limited time only while supplies last. Diamond necklaces, beautiful. You dazzle, dazzling, absolutely fabulous. Light up the room with 10-carat lab-grown diamond tennis necklace. Brilliant, timeless, sparkles, price to impress, and only $39.99. You can choose from hand-crafted engagement rings in all kinds of stunning styles. Whatever you need, Robert Irwin Jewelers has the perfect ring for you. Again, I went there. I didn't think Claire was a jewelry sort. Went in there, bought diamond rings, and she has already diamond earrings, and she's already requested.
Why don't you get some more?
That I go back this year for more stuff from more beautiful gifts from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Open Sundays through Christmas. 5 locations or online at rijewelers.com. Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies when we return. Then Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental, the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.